Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Well, now, if you think back to this time last year, Morgan started this episode with some very strange music. You know, he's a little weird when it comes to stuff like that. But you know what? It got your attention, didn't it? Now, I'm not going to do that to you, at least not now. I lied. It's Dracula music. See what a bad influence Morgan was on me. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Game of Crimes with Murph in the Morning. Sorry to be a little silly there to start with, but you know what? I've never read in any employee handbook that says we cannot have fun at work. So I like having a little fun when we can. Anyway, this week's episode is very, very special for me. You know, as we've done in the past, I was fortunate enough to be invited back to the Southern California Gang Conference. Our longtime listeners have heard you talking about, heard Morgan and I, actually both of us talking about this for the last couple of years, and I got to go again this year. And while I was there, guess what? I ran into several people who were former guests here on Game of Crimes. I was able to catch up with four of them. Might have had to give them a little money, but I persuaded them to give us an update on what they've been doing since their episode aired. Not a single one I've backed off. And if you recall, last year we did this with Joe Pistone, who everybody knows is Donnie Brasco, the FBI agent who infiltrated the mob for over 6 years undercover. We had Robert Mazur, who was known from the movie The Infiltrator with Bryan Cranston. He infiltrated the Medellin cartel money laundering side of the operation. And we had John Mattingly, the retired Louisville, Kentucky police officer. Good Lord, I can't even talk this morning. And you might hear him again today. So I wanted to carry on this tradition, and I'll tell you more about them in a few minutes. But as we usually do, before we do that, let's try something new here. That's the housekeeping. Yeah, I know it's not new. I was just trying to find a new way to present it to you, okay? Well, so on this week, what we'll do is let's do this backwards. How about that? So here we go. Many of you know that my old DEA partner, Javier Pena, and I travel around the world as keynote speakers. We tell the true story about Pablo Escobar and the Medellin cartel. So if you're curious about that and just want to check us out, go to our website, deanarcos.com. Got nothing to do with Game of Crimes, but it's one of my other websites. But there you're going to see a lot of info, pictures, calendar. There's merchandise. We've got a few other things on there. And like I like to say, it's basically so you can see how great we think we are. Now for the Game of Crimes, if you're interested in more content than what you get from the regular Game of Crimes episodes, go to patreon.com/gameofcrimes. That's where you're going to hear Murph getting a little more opinionated about certain topics. You'll find monthly episodes like You Can't Make This Shit Up, which talks about the stupid thing that criminals do. I've got 911, what's your emergency? And that's where I'll present you with an actual 911 call, provide you a few leads and tidbits information as we go, and you try to figure out what really happened. It's a sleuth-based episode, if that's even a word. Well, I guess it is now, a phrase. I have the narcometer, and that's where I watch and critique a crime movie. We'll discuss the accuracy, believability, and authenticity. I promise never to bring Miami Vice back again. Another episode is the monthly Q&A, and that's where I answer questions that you guys send in. And you know what? I haven't turned down a single question that you've sent in yet, so that's always a lot of fun for me. I have the monthly case review, and this is where I'll select between 1 and 4 cases to review and discuss. Mostly, you know, I'd like to generate your thoughts about what criminals do to innocent people and just get you thinking about certain things. Also have the monthly current topics section in which I'll do exactly that, talk about current topics. Now, a word of the warning on that one, it gives me an opportunity to get on my platform and vent a little bit, so just beware. And last but not least, I throw in a random surprise. Now, in the random surprise, you never know what you're going to hear. And you know what? I don't know either until I'm ready to record it. It's just kind of whatever is in the news at the time. Now, all these episodes turn out to be a lot of fun, and you just might learn something. I usually do in doing the research. So I might learn something from your comments as well. So give me a shot here. That's patreon.com/gameofcrimes. Over on social media, you can find Game of Crimes on Facebook and Instagram at Game of Crimes Podcast. And on X, formerly known as Twitter, you can type in Game of Crimes. Now, I'm going to be real honest here. I'm getting tired of saying this. X may be going away real soon. They're still refusing to let me post either on the Game of Crime site or on my DEA Narcos site. And if you've listened to me before, you know patience is definitely not one of my virtues. I'm not going to put up their crap too much longer. I don't know what the hell the problem is. They don't seem interested in letting me know. I didn't get put in X jail or anything that I'm aware of. So we'll see how that goes. Now, also on Facebook, you can type in the Game of Crimes fans. This is a private group run by our favorite mafia queen, Sandy Salvato. Beware, she rules with an iron fist, but she does wear a velvet glove. Over there, you'll find and meet some of the fantastic people from not just the U.S., but from around the world. And we don't just talk about the podcast. They post a lot of great comments and funny material. I try to respond to some of it. I can't keep up with them, just to be honest. And they try to keep me straight. So I appreciate that. Like that's going to happen, right? And that's Game of Crimes fans. So check it out. Or you can go to, I hate to keep saying but I'll try and cut some of these out. Check out our website at gameofcrimespodcast.com. That's where you'll find all of our episodes from the podcast, the book list, which is getting longer and longer with each episode, the Game of Crimes merchandise, and more. And finally, head over to Apple or Spotify and hit those 5 stars for me. It might not sound like much, but it really does help the show out with the ratings. And honestly, it only takes you a minute or so to get that done. So I appreciate you doing that. I still enjoy hearing your thoughts on the show. So you can send me your comments and your feedback through either Spotify or our email address, which is gameofcrimespodcast@gmail.com. And if you're a Patreon subscriber, you can send me your comments through that site as well. Now, so we did that backwards. That wasn't so bad, was it? Here's a quick disclaimer. This is a show about crime. We talk about bad people doing bad things and bad people doing bad things to good people. I do take the stories very, very seriously, but we also want to have some fun here. And we found out it never hurts to laugh a little bit at yourself. Now, usually I include a section here we call Small Town Police Blotter, but I'm skipping that this week because I'm really excited for you to hear from our guests. Not only are they going to catch us up on what they've been doing, but they'll mention a couple of websites and phone numbers that you may find very beneficial. So you got to listen carefully this week, all right? And if you miss them, just go back and listen because I'll mention them here, and then we're going to mention them throughout the show, and I'll mention them at the end of the episode as well. All right. As I mentioned, we have 4 previous Game of Crime guests on this week for an update session. And first up is Mr. John Mattingly. John was on episode 79, which was posted on January 2nd of this year. I'm sorry, of last year, 2023. And you know what? John was on last year's Southern California Gang Conference update as well. That was episode 104 that posted on June 26, 23. Now, if you recall, John was a sergeant with the Louisville, Kentucky Police Department. He was involved in the raid that resulted in the unnecessary death of Breonna Taylor. And John will tell you that himself if you go back and listen to his first episode. If you haven't heard John's story, please go back and listen. And again, that's episode 79. Besides Breonna, John was the only other person wounded that day. A tourniquet from a quick-acting fellow officer, and by the grace of God, that's what saved his life. But here's the important part. In John's interview, you'll hear what really happened that fateful day. And guess what? You already know. It wasn't what the media told us, was it? It's not even close to what so many famous and well-known people said it was. You know, these are the people that who never take the time to research the facts. They simply repeat what some other uninformed person told them. It was horrible, and it's still horrible. But not a single one of them has come back to apologize for spreading lies and trashing the police who deserve none of that, especially John. But wait until you hear how John has taken chicken crab and turned it into chicken salad. That's kind of an old saying, huh? Wait till you hear what he's doing today for others, even though he and his family are still suffering effects from what happened to him. I can't tell you how proud I am of John. His attitude, his professionalism, it just continues to shine through. Now, also, I don't want to forget something that John's going to talk about, and that's a website called officerprivacy.com, officerprivacy.com. He's going to explain it to you. It's an online service that will remove law enforcement professionals' information from online sites. It's a paid service, and I'll mention it again at the end of the episode, but listen to how John has benefited from it, and then you can decide if you want to learn more, okay? Next up is Mr. Mike Collazo, episode 127 that we posted on December 18th, 2023, not that long ago, 6 months ago. I'm pretty sure you'll remember that Mike is a police officer in Nashville, Tennessee. And on March 27th of 2023, Mike and other officers received that dreaded call and had to respond to a shooting in progress at a school. That was the Covenant School there in Nashville. A person had gone on a rampage. By the time officers were able to get there, that person had, and we don't credit those people with recognition here other than we might call them a piece of shit. But that person went on a rampage and killed 3 9-year-old children plus 3 adults in the school. That was before she encountered Mike, Rex Engelbert, and other Nashville PD officers. You know, as officers were responding to the school, the shooter was up there trying to shoot the police officers outside the building from the second floor. Anyway, if you recall, Mike and Rex ordered the shooter to drop the weapon. She made the mistake of pointing the weapon at the officers, and that was the last act she made on this earth. You probably saw the videos on TV within a day or two of the shooting. While 6 people needlessly lost their lives that day for absolutely no good reason, no one knows how many lives were saved by the quick and decisive actions taken by the brave men and women of the Metropolitan Nashville Police Department. Proud of you folks. And then the response of the executive staff just deserves mentioning as well. We will talk about that when Mike's telling you a story. Mike's going to give us an update on the investigation, tell you some more about what he continues to deal with in the aftermath. You know, you've heard me say it before, I haven't met a single police officer yet that became a cop because they wanted to kill people. Sometimes it's a requirement of the job, and thank God we have brave men and women who are willing to step up to protect us. Okay, our third guest is John Norez. He was episode 108 that posted on July 24th, 2023. If you recall, John is a retired lieutenant with the California Department of Fish and Wildlife Game Warden. That's a long title, isn't it? While in that capacity, he initiated the marijuana eradication team, the MET team. Had nothing to do with people smoking weed. Now, don't think that we're getting down on you if you're smoking weed. I don't approve of it personally, but that's your choice. They were focused on extremely dangerous people who snuck into our country illegally, trekked up into the high, desolate mountains of California, planted their own marijuana crops, and we're talking hundreds and hundreds to include thousands of acres here. They use toxic chemicals. They still are using toxic chemicals that have been banned here in the United States. And these are the chemicals that kill the wildlife in that area, that killed a police canine who, you know, inadvertently licked a plant or something on the ground. They diverted billions, not millions, but billions of gallons of water for their crops. And this was at a time when California was suffering a major drought, that they didn't hesitate to shoot and wound law enforcement personnel who were investigating these illegal grows and really didn't give a crap about anyone except themselves and their cartel bosses down in Mexico. Oh, this is one that gets the blood boiling, I have to say. Oh, and this is the part I really like. Just because John retired, it didn't mean that he let his oath expire. He's still actively involved in pushing awareness and legislation to combat these criminals. I was pleasantly surprised to hear about his current efforts. So stay tuned to hear more about that. You may be a little surprised what he's doing, but God bless him. He's still doing the job. Okay. And this week's fourth guest is none other than San Diego police officer Mike Martinez. He was episode 124 that posted on November 20th and November 27th of 2023. You know, when we talked to Mike, we got so involved in his adventures, and we felt that everyone should hear what he'd gone through and how he came out of it through a wellness program, that it took 2 weeks to get all 4 hours, 4 hours of his interviews out to you guys. And we received some fantastic comments from y'all. So thank you very much. Now, Mike's Adventures, if that's what you want to call it, you know, and what I'm talking about here is being involved in 3 lethal shooting events, officer-involved shootings, in his first 18 months on the job. Holy cow. And then a few years later, had another 4th shooting. You know, he calls it a shit magnet. I call it a bullet magnet. Mike was very transparent with us, and he discussed the aftermaths of those horrendous events, how he suffered through headaches, excessive drinking, almost lost his family, contemplated suicide, but he eventually pulled through and came out a new man. And if you remember, he didn't stop there. Mike headed up the San Diego Police Department's wellness unit, which helps other officers get through traumatic events. Man, stand up for the troops. And he still hasn't stopped there either. He's getting involved everywhere he can to help spread the word so that no one has to deal with any of the aftermath of traumatic events alone. Mike mentioned an organization that I'd never heard of. It's called Copline, C-O-P-L-I-N-E. It's a nonprofit that is staffed 24/7, 365 to offer law enforcement professionals help when they need it most. Now, if you call that number, a retired police officer will answer the call, and your anonymity, this is really important, your anonymity and your confidentiality will be maintained. They will not contact your department, okay? So you can trust these people. I'm going to mention this now, and I'll mention it later, too. You can contact Copline through their website, which is Copline, copline.org, or you can call them at 1-800-COPLINE, and that's 800-267-5463. Again, 1-800-267-5463. Also, don't forget about the national hotline if you're having suicidal thoughts or just need someone to talk to. It's 988, and it's that simple. Call 988. Get help, or at least talk with someone before you make a life-altering decision. There's nothing more important than getting any of us some assistance when we need it, all right? So, gone on quite a while here. I want to get this over. I've spent enough time talking about this week's guest, but I wanted you to recall briefly who they are and what they talked about before, so you've got a little background knowledge. All 4 of these pros are heroes in my book and always will be, and not simply because of an action or operation they were involved in, but how they've handled themselves, their families, and how they continue to try and help others today. I'm so freaking proud of these guys. I can't tell you how fortunate I feel to have them back here on Game of Crimes. So now, here we go. Everyone, you know what you got to do. Get in, sit down, shut up, and hold on. It's time for the biggest, baddest, most dangerous game of all, the Game of Crimes. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to a special episode of Game of Crimes with Murph in the Morning. As we've done the last couple of years, I'm back out to Southern California Gang Conference in Southern California. That's why they call it Southern California Gang Conference. And this is my first year out here without Morgan doing podcast interviews. So it's been a real adventure just trying to set the equipment up and then finding the table that we could use. I was stacking boxes on top of each other, trying to get them high enough. But finally, somebody brought us a table in, so we look professional now. But as we've done in the past couple of years, guests that we've had on the show before here that come out to this conference have gotten to be friends. I mean, and it's part of the law enforcement culture. We're all family here. We all bleed blue. And one of the guests that's out here today, I was able to snag him that was on our show before. One of my, I guess, favorite episodes, favorite interviews I ever did. And it was that way because how much it pissed me off, just to be real honest with you. So we just wanted to catch up today with a gentleman named John Mattingly, retired Louisville, Kentucky Police Department. If you remember his interview, John led the raid in which Breonna Taylor was shot, not by the fault of police, but by fault of her boyfriend, who is a piece of shit. So we'll refer to him as POS from here on out. But
I like to just catch up with these folks and see what they've been doing since their last interview. And got to catch up with John a little bit this morning. He looks a little heavy eyed. You may hear him with his very white voice today.
It was a late night.
So, anyway, welcome back to the show, John Mattingly.
I'm glad to be here, Steve. Appreciate it, man.
Brother, it's every time I see you, I get excited. I know some people probably think that's kind of weird. And if it's Morgan saying that, it would be kind of weird. But, anyway, it's just wanted to catch up and see what in the world has been going on in John Mattingly's world for the last, year and a half?
Yeah.
I think since we did your interview.
Yeah, it's been a little bit.
You're retired from the police department?
Yeah, retired from there and just travel and speak and hopefully share a little bit of knowledge to help somebody not become me, or if they're in my position, at least how to kind of navigate that and handle it.
So, and that's one of the cool things here about the Southern California Gang Conference. They bring in current and former law enforcement officers, and we're going to have a few more on that we're going to catch up with. But that's the whole purpose here, is to learn from, I don't mean to say mistakes, but the challenges that we face with the job.
Right.
So, who do you speak to now? What's that all about?
Well, it started out primarily just narcotics organizations, conferences, and then it spread to gang. Now moving, branching into like FOP conferences, and hopefully it'll go out even further. We're trying to do more into the push on the family and the mental health aspect of families as well, and what the spouses go through, whether male or female spouses. There's they carry the burden, the load. They're not used to all the trauma and all the stuff we see. So when any of that affects their lives or comes into the family relationship, it puts a whole new dynamic to it. And it's a tough thing to navigate.
It is. And that's one of the things I got excited about talking to John this morning, just catching up. I just got in last night, and I think you got here the night before, right? And as we said, we're at the conference, so you probably hear some extra background noise here that you usually don't hear in our podcast, but this is just the way it is. It's the quietest place we could find. But when you started telling me about your wife getting involved, and as some of our listeners who've been following us closely here know, that's one thing I'm kind of concerned about, is what I call our unsung heroes. And that's our families, our spouses, our children, our moms and dads, any family member that you're close to. When you go out the door to go in law enforcement to do whatever, whether it's uniform, undercover, working detectives, street crime, whatever it might be, it's real cliche to say this, but they literally do not know if you're going to come home.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, a lot of times we don't even realize what they're going through, because it's not our focus. It's not what we're paying attention to. We fail them by not asking them, hey, how are you feeling? What's going on? What do you need from me? What can we do different? Just this past year, I found out from my 24-year-old son that when he was young, he said he slept horrible growing up because he would always try to stay awake until I got home. Because he was like, I don't know if you're going to die at work, all that stuff. And I had no idea.
Oh, my God.
He said when I would come home, because I would always check on the kids, he said he would just fake like he was asleep, and then he'd be able to go to sleep. He could relax. And I'm like, man, I had zero clue of this. And that's on me for not breaching that subject and going, hey, is everything good in your life? He may not have told me, because teenagers don't open up a lot. But at the same time, I didn't give him the opportunity either.
Yeah. That gave me chills talking about that. Well, it's the thing, we had Jenna Griffith on here recently, and that's the wife of Seth Griffith. And I met Jenna at the third annual Military Appreciation Weekend at Beaufort, South Carolina, a couple of months ago. And she has taken up that cause. And I was telling John about it, because I got excited when John's wife said she's interested in this. I was telling him about Jenna. And Jenna, if you're listening, I'm hoping to make an introduction between you and John's wife at some point. You guys can share notes. Maybe she can learn some things from you and vice versa. But when we go out to work, a lot of people don't understand our mindset. We go out for the excitement, for the adrenaline rush.
Oh, yeah.
For knowing what's going on when nobody else knows. I mean, even when there's a car wreck, traffic stops because everybody wants to know what goes on.
Yeah.
And who knows? The uniforms that are standing, they're the ones who really know. So we also do it for the opportunity to serve public, to serve our fellow man. That's why we all go into law enforcement to start with. But that adrenaline rush, it is...
It's addicting.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
And the biggest problem, though, is that the things that used to get your adrenaline up, over time, it's like any kind of medication.
Yeah.
You get, your body gets used to it, and you have to have more and more and more.
Yep.
But that kind of translates to our personal life too, especially if you retire or if you're, you know, if somebody gets suspended for a year for a shooting, not in a negative way, but while they're getting investigated, then guys start looking for other things to fill that, to get that adrenaline up.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it be gambling, cheating, drinking, whatever, fighting, whatever it is. And that's usually when guys get in trouble.
And there are some people that I'm going to interview while we're here at the conference. And just right off the top of my head, Billy Queen,
yeah,
retired ATF agent that actually became a patched member of the Mongols motorcycle gang, one of the most violent motorcycle gangs.
Isn't he the only one that was actually ever patched in?
To the Mongols, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Jay Dobbins was patched into, was it HA's? I can't
sure.
remember. We've done a lot of the ATF interviews, and I mean, it's just, it's like, what the hell are you thinking?
Yeah. Well, it was fun, right?
Exactly.
You get paid by the city to be a police officer, or the country, in this case, ATF, but you get to live the criminal lifestyle.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of the best of both worlds.
Yep. But then what does that do to our families?
Oh, it had to tear them apart. A lot worse than just the B guy or the, you know, NAR guy or whatever, because they're infiltrated and they can't come out. They're stuck.
Long-term undercover. Yeah. He was over 2 years, but we'll get to that in his interview. But, you know, we got Joe Pistones out here who did mm-hmm. over 6 years. And
another legend.
Was it the Colombo family? One of the Italian mob families up in New York. It's like one stud after another. In fact, we've got a guest sitting in here listening to us do this because he's going crazy out there in the mobs. Mike Colazzo from Nashville PD.
Yeah, another hero.
Yep, absolutely, who took care of business. And his turn's coming up for a recap here, so he's agreed to do it. I told him he can't leave San Diego till he does it. And he's like, okay, I'll see you next month. I'll stay. But we'll get to Mike a little bit later. But the interesting thing is, and you're looking at me rather than Mike, most of what you're saying, he's ever shaking his head yes.
Yeah.
So
it translates across the board.
It does. It does. It's that's why I think that's why we call law enforcement the family.
Yeah.
The law enforcement family. So how has your, other than speaking, how has your situation changed, let's say, when it comes to security? Because you had a lot of threats out of these.
Yeah, days. We did. You know, we had the hit taken out on us. Where we moved to is so isolated. You know, we feel good. I still worry about the family some, but things have calmed down a lot. The only time things flare back up are on anniversaries or if I'm doing a speaking engagement somewhere close to Louisville, somewhere in Kentucky, people get, you know, lose their minds.
If I'm not mistaken, you were scheduled to speak at some events and they canceled on you.
There's been several. Yeah.
Tell us what that's, I mean, what happened?
Well, you know, I'm probably naive on the business side of it because, you know, some of these pay, some don't. It depends on what you're like here. We all volunteer because it goes to the officer, the fallen officers fund. And that could have been me or you or anybody else involved in this career. So
right.
It's an important thing to give back to, but on the business side of it, like one was a college and, you know, you go on faith thinking, okay, well, I'm blocking out this part of my life to dedicate here. And then last minute, one of the administrators found out I was coming in, threw a big fit and canceled. But that's happened several times. I've had a police chief cancel on me because they found out who I was.
What?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Were you going to talk to the people in his department?
No, they had actually, it was a nonprofit that had rented their training facility. I think it was Columbus. So we could speak up there
mm-hmm.
to the families. And again, this was more of a family event. The wives and the spouses were brought in and it was just kind of, my wife and I were both speaking, you know, kind of giving her side of it. And last minute they canceled on them. So they had to find a whole new venue because they're like, we're not canceling you. We'll just cancel that.
Unbelievable. Yeah,
and they'd even paid for it. It wasn't like the department was giving them
right,
room.
Right.
They had rented it and they still said no.
Simply because of the Breonna Taylor case.
Right.
You know what? I don't know if that chief's listening to us, but if you are, shame on you and don't listen to him anymore. You're not part of the brotherhood if you're acting
not
like that.
Not a real cop.
You know, exactly.
Just a politician.
And if you're not concerned with the truth, you know, that's what he's made a decision regardless of what the facts say.
It was a she, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't care if it's a man or a woman, but still, That's wrong. And, you know, and if everybody remembers, you heard me pontificate quite a bit about John's case because we had some very high-level politicians, some sports stars, some movie stars, TV stars, music stars, all of these pretty people that are out there who didn't care about the facts of the case. All they saw was a chance to down on the police.
Right.
And that included our current vice president.
Oh, yeah. She got up and lied and said we had the wrong apartment and that, you know, she was asleep in bed. And all the lies that Ben Crump and the other people had put out initially that were never combated, these people just jumped on it and ran with it without fact-checking. And there's no accountability. It's the problem.
Exactly. Exactly. So, and, you know, Morgan and I continue this, try to stay non-political. If you want to go political, you have to come over to the Patreon channel.
Pay for it.
I get a little bit more opinionated over there. But how about your family? Are they suffering through any threats, any reprisals from all that took place?
Well, the threats have, like I said, they've pretty much died down. But we also changed a lot of protocols. You know, the kids moved to different places. Social media accounts were totally changed or locked. So we learned from it. And that's what I try to teach these people when I travel around. Do these things ahead of time so you're not playing catch up. Because once your info gets out, it's hard to pull it back.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever talked to the officerprivacy.com guy.
No.
Pete James, retired police officer, started this. It wipes all your stuff off the internet. Man, he's a good guy to have. I appreciate him.
Excellent. We'll have to get his website or however we contact him, and I'll put it in the intro and outro on this.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
So, now, how long have you been retired from the PD?
Retired at the end of May, May 31st of 21.
Okay.
So right at 3 years.
And here we're at the end of May in 2024 is when this is taking place. Do you have another side hustle you're doing or?
No, not really. I help my son detail some cars. That's about it.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's like when
we're like scarlet letters. You know, once your name gets smeared like that,
oh, yeah.
People aren't going to hire you. They're like, oh, you're qualified, but we can't take on the chance.
You know, I hadn't even thought of that.
Oh, it's horrible.
Wow. That is horrible. And it's just simply because people didn't take the time to read the facts.
Yeah.
I was trying to think what else. We're not going to ask you where you live because we don't want additional threats to start. I guess maybe to finish up here. So when you tell people your story, you mentioned, you know, you plan ahead, get your social media and all that under control to start with. But What are the points? I heard you speak last year on here, but tell our listeners, what are some of the points that you try to get across to law enforcement to be prepared for?
Man, I would put your stuff in a revocable trust, all your property, your vehicles. Plus, it's a great tax shelter down the road when you're, you know, passing stuff on to your kids. But that is, I've found that is the best deterrent as far as not finding out where you live. And it's not like an LLC where they can track it back. But yeah, do the research in their state where they can do that. And that's, I would say that's probably the number one thing right behind scrubbing the internet information. But if you do those two things primarily, you'll be pretty set.
Good stuff. It's, you know, when I retired from DEA, you could not find me on social media. There was, Javier and I had spoken at the DEA headquarters building one time telling the story of Pablo for the headquarters staff, and they transcribed our presentation, and there was a transcription of our presentation online. That was the only thing. You couldn't find any pictures or anything.
Wow.
But then, you know, when you start a business, as big a pain in the butt as social media can be, it's also a good marketing tool.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a double-edged sword.
Big time. Yeah. And the sad thing is the criminals figured out how to criminalize it and profit from it. So that's a lot of the problems we're having today. Is there any last words of wisdom, points that you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Yeah, if the young cops are listening, this is the thing I push because I think it's important, is do not evolve your life around policing and other officers. You can have friends on the department, but I see all these guys that their entire life is encapsulated with other police, and they get in this echo chamber where they don't have that life balance outside of policing. They go out with other cops. They hang out with them. They do everything with cops, go on vacations with them. And then everything becomes negative in their world, in their mind, because there's a lot of good in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But we deal with the worst of the worst. So if that's all you see and that's all you talk about, then you're skewed. Your vision is. And then that translates over into the job, because then you're going into work with a negative attitude, and that's how you're going to treat people.
Yep. That's how I try to tell the kids, people at work, you know, even now. I spoke to a group of kids in Richmond, Virginia, a couple of weeks ago, and these were kids that were highly at risk, and they were teenagers. And, you know, you try to leave them with something to think about. And I told them, you know, today is going to be as good as bad as you make it. It's totally right. Up to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you surround yourself with people who like to get in trouble, well, where do you think that's going to go?
Yeah.
Right? So I heard a lot of military guys talk about surrounding yourself with like-minded people.
Right.
I think that's good for a support group, but I also think you need a little bit of diversification out there.
100%.
And I was one of those guys that was guilty about when I was in uniform, I only hung out with cops. Yeah. I didn't hang out with anybody else.
Well, what I tell people, too, is one day this job's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've ever been in small units, you know how it is where you're real tight, you're all on text threads together, you do stuff together. And then somebody leaves the unit or you leave the unit and it's good for a month and then it starts fading off. Then you never talk to them again. Not because you're not friends,
yeah.
But everybody's busy. They're going different ways in life. And so once you are done with this job, I was fortunate because probably 95% of my friends weren't cops. So when I was done with my career abruptly, I didn't have to depend on them because they were thrown right in the mix of all the protests and they were busy. They didn't have time to check in on me or hang out with me because they had their own lives. So fortunately, I had that whole friend base that had nothing to do with that. And that's where my support came from. And that was huge for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And just one last thing. I want to shout out to our families. Thank you for putting up with our crap. Thank you for allowing us to do what we do. That you know, we go out and get to have what we think is fun. A lot of people think we're crazy, and maybe we are. But we think we're doing it for the right reason. So that's why we refer to you as our unsung hero. So, John, God bless you, brother. Glad things are working out. I continue to pray for you. I feel horrible about especially law enforcement canceling you to speak to an audience where you have an opportunity to get the truth out and for right. people to learn from, you know, the true facts and lessons learned. So if we're back out here again next year, I'm probably going to grab you and ask you to come back again, and we'll see what you've been doing for the next year.
Yeah, sounds good, man.
All right, brother. Thanks very much.
Appreciate it, Steve.
And next is Mr. Mike Collazo from episode 127 back in December of 2023. And as you remember, Mike was one of the officers from Nashville Police Department that responded to the Covenant School shooting in which several children were killed. And I know you have. Everybody's seen the videos of these guys responding. And it's so different than what you've seen in other places like Uvalde. And I'm not here to talk about Uvalde and what happened there. But what I will say is what we saw that day, and the videos back this up, is we saw what police officers are trained to do, how they're trained to respond. You know, I don't know a single police officer that got on the job here with the idea that, hey, I want to go get shot today. Oh, but you know that's part of the job. Is it scary? It's scarier than hell. Are you nervous? You are, but you have to be able to control your fears. Or else your fear will take the best of you and nothing happens and innocent people are killed. So, all right, Mike, welcome back to the show, brother.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, he's sitting here looking at me like, when the hell are you going to shut up so I can talk?
Said that.
You know, and the listeners are probably wondering that too. So, good to see you again out here. We got to meet you and your partner last year. And if you remember when we did Mike's interview, his partner didn't show up because he got married. I mean, he was on his honeymoon. Good Lord. He gave up being on Game of Crimes to go on a honeymoon. What's wrong with this guy?
Yeah. Now he's back in school. Oh. So that's why he's not here today.
School as in police training or college?
Police training.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Well, still, you guys were a team and you did a hell of a job out there.
I appreciate it.
I'm not sure where the investigation has gone since we talked to you in December. Can you update us a little bit?
Yeah. So, probably about a month before the year anniversary, we ended up getting a letter from the DA's office clearing us. Mm-hmm. So criminally, we were cleared. Immediately after that, within about a week or two, we ended up getting a letter from our Office of Professional Accountability, who investigated the officer-involved shooting aspect for the department. They ended up sending us a letter clearing us as well. And actually, just last week, we did a shooting review board that our department holds as well, just to go through the whole process or the whole shooting, talk about it, do a presentation on it, and then we give our story. And then they'll determine if everything as well that occurred on that day was within policy or if it was intentional, which I didn't really understand the intentional part until I talked to my lawyer afterwards, who was present for it. And we were cleared on that administrative review board as well. So in all, everything's wrapped up.
You know, and I understand everything you're talking about. I'm thinking that our listeners are thinking, what? You had to go before a grand jury? Your case was presented to a grand jury that, that all these shooting review boards and these other organizations, when clearly the videos, I mean, you know, my hat's off to the chief at Nashville for getting those videos out to the public because that just cleared it up immediately. Everybody saw what happened.
Yeah. I mean, that's that's another topic to even talk about if you wanted to, how they handled that. I know our public relations personnel very well, Don Aaron. He's now going to be a family friend for the rest of our lives. And
nice.
The things that he did, I commend him on. Putting certain information out at certain times, making sure the facts were correct before releasing things. Making sure from my understanding, even with typing a sentence to post on a social media platform to push information out, he's running it through five other people before they post it.
Wow.
So they put a lot of time and effort into combining whatever information to make sure the correct information's going out instead of what in some cases we always see footage gets put out or a snippet gets put out or the wrong message or tweets put out and then it just goes rampant from there. And now mm-hmm. we're backtracking trying to put the right information out and people have already made up their mind.
Yeah.
In our case, they were very methodical in what they did and it showed.
It was as professional as anything I've seen. And our longtime listeners know that I grew up in Murfreesboro, which is the county south of Davidson County where Nashville is. So Mike and I are probably related. We just don't know it. You know, it's those family trees with no branches type thing. But I remember when we did your uniform, we talked about the positive response and the way that Nashville management, executive management handled it. We were very impressed with it now, still impressed with it now. Then and now still impressed with it now. And this is a normal thing that when police are involved in a shooting that it does go before a grand jury. That's yeah. not something special in this case. Back in 1989, when my partner was shot and our informant was killed down in Miami, Janet Reno was the district attorney for Dade County, Florida at that time. And our case had to go before a grand jury there. And, you know, when you're the person involved in that shooting and they say they're going to a grand jury, you're like, I'm not the bad guy here. But what it is, it's an overabundance of caution to show the public that the police officers did exactly what they were supposed to do because we are public servants. We serve the public. It's right there in the title. It's not any more complicated than that. So I love the fact that it sucks when you're on the receiving end of that, but when you're cleared, it just gives you a little, I guess, a little measure of reassurance, right?
Yeah, and a lot of stress just goes away.
Yeah.
In the back of your mind, you're always thinking that. I mean, were there, you know, nights that I couldn't sleep or had a nightmare of somebody showing up at our houses arresting all of us for the incident? 100%.
Oh.
You know, those are things that happen involving officer involved shootings or critical incidents in general, that thought is always there.
Wow.
It's always tough. But at the same time, like I said, I mean, we knew we did what we were trained to do. We knew we were in the right, but your mind still does things. And you have to seek help when you need it. And, you know, we all got our help. I know we talked a little bit about that, the mental health aspect of everything. It pushes it helps you out a whole lot. So once you get those letters and you get cleared on things, it goes a long way. It's very impactful to get that letter.
It is. And excuse me, I remember I got kind of upset with the district attorney's office in Dade County, Florida, when they investigated that. But, I guess a lot of it was immaturity on my part, or, you know, when it involves you, you're just a little more sensitive to things like that. So just so glad that that's all worked out. Just again, take our hats off to the Nashville Police Department from the chief on down. That's what I call true leadership.
And you brought up another good point, the unknown.
Yeah.
We had never gone through this before. Never. This was the first time myself and Officer Rex had fired our service weapons. First time. All five of us, Sergeant Mathis, Detective Cagle, Detective Plessy, were involved in a critical incident.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of unknowns. So just going through step by step, our chain of command was there with us. Our peer supports were there with us, our FOP representation, our lawyers is trying to feed information to us to keep us going and letting us know what's next. So we kind of knew the processes. We knew they were going to take a while. I mean, like I said, it took 11 months to get paperwork telling us that we were cleared. It's a process.
That's a long time too.
And it's a very detailed process. They don't want to make the wrong decision on anything. They don't want to rush any decisions. That's what we all sit back and we watch these things on social media where somebody can watch a 5-second clip on somebody's post and automatically make a decision, say this person's guilty. It's like, no, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
We need to take our time. We need to investigate it. And I think, you know, that plays into some of these oversight boards that are coming in play and things like that. Like there's processes already put in place, state law, there's legislation covering certain things, like let things pan out the way they're supposed to pan out or be investigated the way they're supposed to be investigated. Let the system do its job.
And what I see here, too, the way Nashville handled it is you're maintaining the public trust.
Yes.
That there's absolutely no attempt at whatsoever to cover anything up. This is what happened. Mm-hmm. Here's the proof. We're going to still check it.
I can tell you, I mean, there was that big push to a couple of years prior to our incident with body cams.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the officers I work with were perfectly fine with body cams.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, hey, bring them. We want them.
Yeah.
Because these body cams are going to show the public the things that we do right, the things that we are every day showing up to work. Hey, this individual's basically lying to our investigators saying that I stole their money or that I unlawfully stopped them for whatever reason. Play the body cam footage. It's going to show the truth.
You know, I remember as a young DEA agent in Miami, I'd already been a police officer for 12 years before I became a Fed. And I was working with an assistant U.S. attorney in Miami, and he said one day about video audio evidence. And I said, well, we've got agent testimony. He said, look, let's get this straight right now. The best evidence is video. Second best is audio. Third best is agent testimony. You know, and I mean, I was Mr. Macho back then, you know. I thought, hell, there's nobody going to question me. And I got a little upset with him. We had a discussion, but you stop thinking about it, it's true. The video tells you everything that happened right there.
Then, like you said, the audio, and then you throw in the testimony.
Mm-hmm.
We have to also remember our department does a great job on this. Do not let your body cam or let your video tell your story. It's going to show a 270-degree angle, whatever angle it is, of what is occurring. However, at the end of the day, what you see is what matters as well. So in our incident, we didn't watch our body cam before we went and interviewed with our homicide detectives and our OPA. They wanted our interpretation of what happened. Then after we spoke and we gave a statement, then we watched our body cam. They wanted raw. This is what happened. Mm-hmm. Here's what I perceived to happen. And then we watched the body cam. Like, hey, I remember that now. There were certain things that like just you didn't comprehend because your brain, what I think is, your brain's protecting itself. You're just involved in something. It's doing what it can to help you. And when you watched the body cam, it started to fill in some of those holes. And that I didn't understand that until this incident and why it made sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And I had, honestly, I'd never thought of that. But, you know, when I was in uniform, they did body cams. What the heck is that? We didn't have cell phones back then.
That's what the DUI officers get.
Exactly. Now, how many years you got on the job now?
So I hit my 10-year mark.
10 years. Excellent, man. And since that time, you mentioned that you're speaking to groups, or maybe you and I talked about that privately. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So I've actually done a handful of speaking events already. I just got done speaking here in California at the GAIN conference with Mel and them. After everything happened, Mel has been, I'd say, probably at least once a month. I know he's in California. I'm in Tennessee. It's pretty far. But at least once a month, Mel and I talk. So when the opportunity came about to speak here at the conference, we jumped on it because I was like, Mel, everything y'all have done for me, like, I've got to pay you back somehow. So came out here, spoke, did two breakout sessions here just for about 2 hours of just talking about the day, telling the story about all the officers, the paramedics that responded, talk about Mary Craig and Matt Sullivan, the two administrative staffs, kind of like what we did, where we just break down everything. But I try to tell everybody's story, kind of do a walkthrough of the day, and then kind of talk about some of the stuff up the after effects that we went through all the way up till here recently when we got our letters. Mm-hmm. But just go out and talk about that. Seems to get a good response from folks. Other agencies want to kind of know about our training. They want to know some of the things we did proactively beforehand. So we just talk. I mean, I'll let everybody know I'm not a public speaker. Yeah. I'm not a professional speaker. I am just your average Joe Smo officer that responded to one of the worst days that we could ever imagine. And here's our story.
Yeah. Responded appropriately, let's say. And I've noticed here, so at the Southern California GAIN Conference, this year is roughly 1,000 police officers from the southern part of California out here. It's one of the most exciting things I get to do every year. I'm just thankful to Mel and Santi for inviting me back out every year. But I noticed that, like, we just came off a lunch break here, and we're trying to make our way over to this. The venue that we're in is nice enough to give us a little room where we can do the podcast. And obviously, you can hear noise in the background. It's because there's 1,000 cops here. Cops are not quiet with each other. But getting from the auditorium to this room took a while because people are stopping you asking questions. And that's fantastic. That shows you that they listen to your story, they're interested, and they want to learn. Again, I mentioned that no police officer I ever met wanted to get shot in the in line of duty, and I haven't met a single police officer yet that wanted to kill somebody in the line of duty. So it's something that's on everybody's mind. We see the anti-police rhetoric going on now. It's more likely. It seems like, I don't know, our society's just gotten so permissive. Things are crazy out there right now. But what are some future plans you have for the police? Are you going to hang in there for a while, or what do you think?
Yeah, I'm sticking it out. At least 10 more years on the department until I could even think about retiring. But I'm having fun still. I enjoy coming to work. I enjoy all the people I work with. I've now been moved over to our high-intensity drug task force with TBI, us, DEA, and some of the surrounding counties. And some of their officers have joined in with our task force. So primarily we were out here focusing on overdoses that have been occurring in our jurisdiction and the surrounding ones, and primarily focusing on that. So, I mean, every day is just a new day and a fun day.
And just to clarify, TBI is not traumatic brain injury, is it?
No, it's Tennessee Bureau of Investigations.
And I mentioned that because we just had Jenna Griffith on. She talked about that. And she was saying it's not Tennessee Bureau of Investigation.
That's funny. I like your segue between the two.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, but also, I mean, outside of the department, I am trying to work with other companies, partnering with whoever I can, just trying to talk about that day and mental health and pushing that rhetoric and just trying to get officers help if they need. I have a really good buddy, Zach. He runs a social media platform called Veteran with a Sign, and his big push is mental health and suicide prevention for the military. So he lives in Nashville. Him and I have kind of been working hand in hand with each other and trying to push that out also to first responders. So like Axon's a big company.
Very big.
Yes. Went to their conference, spoke about mental health at their conference in Miami about 2-3 weeks ago, and kind of working with them, which I didn't know this until speaking with them. They have a new program they're starting called Axon Aid. in that program, if you have any Axon product, from your body cam to a taser, doesn't matter what it is, if you have one of their products, your department is automatically enrolled into their mental health program. So
wow.
You can have a small agency and they don't have a mental health program. They don't have past support or peer support, and an officer needs help. You can contact Axon Aid and they'll help you free of charge.
Whoa, that is Axon, AXON is how you spell that company name. Javier and I were out in Lake Tahoe here recently talking to a FBI National Academy Associates conference, and they were the biggest booth there.
Yeah, they got a lot of touch, a lot of resources.
That's fantastic. You know, and speaking of, it just now hit me, Jenna Griffith actually lives in Franklin, in Davidson County, yeah. Tennessee, this part okay. of Nashville. And she has started a group. There's a nonprofit called Aerial Recovery there.
Okay.
And so they help veterans and first responders suffering from PTSD. They respond to natural and man-made disasters, like okay. all the tornadoes yeah. that have been going on in Oklahoma and so forth. And they also work to recover victims of human trafficking in other countries. Hmm. I mean, these guys, her husband, Seth, we had him on the show also, and he'd been over Ukraine. He'd been in Afghanistan. He was 20-year Air Force combat controller. You know, he's out there. He's the guy telling them, I need you to drop bombs, like, within a few hundred yards of me.
Yeah, where I'm sitting.
Yeah. I think we need to get him some help, too.
As close as you can.
Exactly. So, you know, it might be a good mesh there, because Jenna has started a thing to work with what I call the unsung heroes. Mm-hmm. And that's, you heard John and I talking about that earlier, about, you know, yeah, we want to make sure our first responders, our heroes in blue, are getting the help they need after a traumatic event, but our families need it as well.
Yes.
So, and that's what she's focusing on. So I may have to introduce you to, if you're up for it.
I'm always willing to talk with anybody.
She's a very nice lady.
There's never not enough resources for us.
Absolutely.
So.
That is so encouraging to hear, man. You were taking it to the next step. Did somebody suggest that to you, or you just did that on your own?
I mean, I had a lot of help when I was going through some things, especially with family as well, going through stuff, and people just reached out, and you know, you want to continue that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, big thing that I do in the presentation, I started off with a story from when I went through an undercover class, and an individual that taught actually had gone through a lot, and he had received some help, and he wanted to continue that. And he was a big thing for him was he gave his personal number out. He said, I don't care if it's 2 a.m. or if it's 8 p.m. If you need me because you were just involved in something, or you just realized, hey, I've got a drinking problem, or hey, I take a lot of opiates and I need help. Mm-hmm. I've hit rock bottom. He goes, I don't care what time it is. You call me, I'm coming. And he had resources in play, companies that were willing to support him to where they would fund his car rental, his plane ride, whatever it was, to get to wherever he needed to get to that person.
Wow.
And his thing was too, he's like, hey, I can't fix your brain, but I can get you to somebody that can.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to stay with you until I get you there. And that stuck. And when our incident happened, he was one of the first phone calls I made. Of course, I called my wife. Of course, I called
yeah.
my family. But when things started to unfold, I reached out to him and said, hey, man, I need some help. And he's like, hey, I'm on my way. Jumped in a car, drove all the way to Nashville. The next morning, he was at my house. We sat and talked. My wife was there. We went to his hotel, talked for a couple hours. He's constantly checking in and everything. We talk a lot. And I actually asked him, hey, what you did for me, can I continue that?
He said,
100%.
Wow.
That's what kind of started it. So we're working on that.
Wow.
So
that, you know, that's a hero in his own right that's willing to sacrifice his personal time and whatever funding it costs.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not even getting a second thought. I'll be there. Oh, man, what a support. Is he somebody we can give a plug to or no?
I don't want to oust him just like that without really talking to him, because his is very, I don't want to say sentimental, but his is very, you know,
emotional.
Yeah, you can say emotional, but also, you know, very, hey, once, if you come to his class, you'll understand.
Mm-hmm. Well, just, you know, so glad that those resources are out there. So glad that law enforcement is realizing now that there is benefit to going to counseling.
Yeah.
You know, it's
that stigma's gone.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, I'm one of those idiots that came up under that stigma, and we wouldn't talk to the EAP representative because you knew he was going to your boss and telling you. There's some silliness that was going on back then. But, you know, law enforcement, we don't like change too much either.
So. We're changing in a good one.
Absolutely.
So we're changing in the right direction.
I want to ask you, too, based on the notoriety of the incident and everything, I mean, it was national news for days afterwards, and you guys set a new standard, or you just showed what the standard should be to respond to those type of situations. Are you seeing any AIM status from that, like either locally or in your own department?
No, I'm just another officer.
Yeah.
All of us are. I mean, yeah, things happened just after, you know, local sports teams wanting to do things, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
It was a way of healing a lot with the kids as well. You know, Nashville Predators did a lot. The Tennessee Titans, they had us all come out, jerseys, things like that, let kids go out on the field. Vanderbilt had when they played Tennessee, they ended up doing an event for the kids as well, invited all of us. So, yeah, things like that.
Wow.
I see those as fun events.
We
get to hang out with the kids, too. But, you know, they want to put you on the pedestal. I get that. And that's a way that they feel like they're giving back. But, man, fast forward now to almost 13 months post the event, I can go to a Walmart. We can go somewhere. Now, don't get me wrong. If some high school friend that I haven't talked to in years sees me, they're going to be like, hey, it's Clauso. And they're going to run up and say hi. I get that. But I'm just a face in the crowd.
Excellent.
Just like everyone else.
Excellent. Well, and that's so encouraging to hear, too, that the local groups in Middle Tennessee are showing their support for law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not seeing that everywhere else in the United States. One last question. Any negative things come out of this?
No.
Mm-hmm. No? No officers coming up going, oh, you think you're hot shit?
I mean, no.
Good.
In regards to a negative, I guess, you know, we've had a couple of officers have to leave the department on their own because they knew they needed to go.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a bad way, but they knew, hey, they had gone through some things because of the incident. They had sought help. They knew they were getting the help, but they weren't going to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that could be some type of negative event or a negative thing from that event.
Well, hopefully they really, you know, this job's not made for everybody.
No. And it's not that. Don't get me wrong. It's not the, hey, I can't be a cop. I didn't hit the level I wanted to be, or I wasn't where I needed to be on that. It was more of they got self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
They caught themselves as like, hey, I'm not who I was before this event.
Mm-hmm.
I need to continue getting help and I don't need to be in this position.
Well.
And I can respect it.
100%. Absolutely. God bless them, because you don't know what that could lead to.
No.
You don't. The last thing you want is somebody committing suicide because they didn't get help. So I think they're making the right decisions. And that's good to hear that they had the foresight to realize something's got to change here. So before I let you go here, any last thoughts you want to share with us?
No, I'm just ready to go enjoy this conference some more.
Yeah, we got John Norris, who I just interviewed before lunch, or during lunch, actually, right before he got to speak. He's up talking now. So excellent people. So, Mike, again, brother, you're still a hero in my eyes. Thank you for your service to the Middle Tennessee and the citizens of Davidson County. If there's anything we can ever do, you know how to get a hold of me, brother.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you
for having me back.
Maybe we'll see you next year.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Mike. Hey, players, this is the end of part one. As you know, part two comes out tomorrow on a Tuesday. In the meantime, on social media, go and check us out on X at Game of Crimes and on Facebook and Instagram at Game of Crimes Podcast. Also on Facebook, type in Game of Crimes fan page and join us for some more fun. Our website is gameofcrimespodcast.com. We've got a lot more information there, including all our episodes, the book list, which contains the books written by our guests, Game of Crimes merchandise, and a lot more. In the meantime, everybody stay safe. We'll see you tomorrow for part two.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.